Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 250, episode 4 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, August 18th, 2022. We got a national day, international day.
You know what time it is when it's 818. First of all, shout out the motherfucking Valley. It's 818 in the fucking building. But also,
you need to make that a thing, man.
Look, you're right, actually. Why the fuck am I not doing that? I literally just put this shit together right now. That's how
I saw it before my very eyes.
Yeah, just go like 8-1. Yeah, we here. You know that powerful ass area code. Celebrate by enjoying some OG Kush. Our home, Valley Stream. Yeah. But yeah, it is other things along with that. National Fajita Day, National Ice Cream Pie Day, and National Pinot Noir Day.
Pinot Noir. That was the one that he liked in Sideways, right? That's the closest I ever came to like having any sort of understanding of wine taste is the movie Sideways. And I feel like he was like, I'm not drinking Merlot. But he was okay with Pinot Noir, maybe.
I forget everything except that I believe wasn't the vineyard called like the Hitching Post?
I don't remember that.
I only remember like the most inconsequential, and that might not even be right. But yeah. A Pinot Noir, if you're into it, get down. Yeah. What about peanut. Ice cream pie?
You that, about of that? Course, means peanut. I like a good ice cream wine. Pie. Come on. I like anything that is, like, my favorite pie is key lime pie. Mm-hmm. And then I just had a key lime pie that didn't have graham cracker crust. And I realized that my favorite pie is anything with graham cracker crust. That is the key ingredient. And ice cream pie is want to have a graham cracker crust, in which case I am fully on board.
Look, this day is advocating for, these ice cream pies. They say, hey, why don't you combine a graham cracker crust with maple pecan ice cream for a fall treat?
Please
vanilla
do.
Wafer crust with By peanut butter ice cream topped with bananas. Means. What?
Yes. All right. By all means.
Yeah.
All of the means. By all of them. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I got my dude straight from the Baja. Blast that shit. I get some turtle in my tuna. Subway shit. I play my Switch up everywhere. Yeah, gamer bitch. I pop my cast right from the source. Yeah, zeitgeist shit. That is courtesy of moss-ridden void bellower. Wow. At Worldwide Wharf. Little Peaches by Justin Bieber. Yeah. Shout out to moss-ridden void bellower. That is a hell of a Twitter, a.k.a.
Oof.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Sometimes I feel like I'll never get Lambo. Sometimes I feel like I pissed my pants. I host a podcast in the city of angels. My name is Miles. Now let's go get high. Wow. And I don't ever want to feel how I get Lambo. America eats it young, so just bong away.
Okay, shout out to that one, Under the Bridge, Lockeroni on the Discord. Thank you. How are we get Lambo? How are you get Lambo?
I get Lambo.
The great American question. How are you get Lambo?
That's right. Now, currently tattooed. I added it to all the tattoos on my face and neck. It's almost across my chest. How are I get Lambo? Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined once again in our third seat by an award-winning writer for Slate, whose work focuses on identity and religion. He wrote and produced the amazing video series Who's Afraid of Ayman Ismail? He's appeared on CNN, NPR, featured in the New York Post, Adweek, Gawker, The Huffington Post. Please welcome Ayman Ismail!
Ayman!
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya bani adam.
Oh, right, man. Right back at you, my brother.
Yes, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut for the Muslims listening.
Okay. Are we celebrating something or that was just like a good, that was, we're doing a job?
I feel like we should be. Something. We should be. I mean, I've been on this tip when like in the last 2 years, there have been like five new shows on TV, five new series that speak just to Muslims. We're talking about like Rami, Miss Marvel, Moon Knight, and now we have Mo, the new show coming out on Netflix by Mohammed. It feels like there's so much happening in that community, and I just want to feel like a part of it sometimes.
There you go.
So I'll just like speak out to them.
Hell yeah. One time. Go, it's always a beautiful thing where you're like, are we getting some wins over here?
Are we doing it? Is it happening?
Yeah, for real. Always a pleasure. Always
where are you coming to us from?
Oh, I'm still in Newark, New Jersey, still in Brick City, man. I don't know if I even want to be here anymore. I'm not going to lie. I've like repped it really hard.
Yeah.
I think the first time I was on this show, I had like a Newark hat. And this time I'm just like, man, dude, they're trying to build another power plant. We have three power plants in this like 4 square mile community. Three, which is more than you'll find in any other area.
At this point, you're a collector. Yeah.
Right.
We've got like the best power plants for some reason. But at the same time, they just approved a fourth one where they're going to import the shit, like the actual shit from New York and from other states.
The human waste?
To bring it into. Okay. Yeah, they're going to truck it in and they call it biosolids. And they're going to boil it and turn it into like concrete paste or something. Which is.
Right.
Damn.
Can we
afford that in this neighborhood? Wow. It keeps going up for some reason.
Is that going to somehow produce energy or this is independent of the electrical plant?
It's so it has like two prongs, right? The first prong is it's better than leaving it in a landfill, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually what happens to this stuff is that it gets dumped in the water or it ends up in some lot in Pennsylvania or other parts of New Jersey or whatever. But in this way, they're thinking, we're going to truck it just across the river to Newark, New Jersey, and we're going to use it and we're going to cut the production of the actual cement, which is way worse for the environment than what they would be doing. So they actually pitched it as a green project.
Right.
But at the same time, this community is mostly black and brown.
Right.
Historically, it's been redlined. So people who were here couldn't leave and buy houses in Milburn or Nutley or other communities that are just across the highway.
Right.
That are, you know, they have no power plants. And I wonder why. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, why does it need to be we're in a place where there's already three power plants?
Right.
Can this community afford more pollution? That's the question I have to ask.
Yeah.
And as a dad now, I also have to ask, like, am I comfortable continuing to raise a child here where they're just going to keep adding to the pollution? I have to live with whatever happens, you know? So I have to make that decision soon, I think.
Yeah, man.
Oof. Man. And it's wild to have. Wait, what kind of power plants do you have? Are they like how are they generating power?
There's a couple. There's one that's an incinerator where they just straight up light it on fire.
Yeah, man. That's fucked up.
Dude, this incinerator is like walking distance from me. And one day it literally turned the sky purple. For some reason, whatever was shooting out from the smokestack was purple. And they're like, it's fine, it's normal.
So yeah, they're like we're having a gender reveal at the power plant. That's all. Just don't worry about it.
Congrats, it's a they.
They both came out, you know, and we're not tripping, but it discolored the sky. So, wow. Yeah, a lot of your plate.
Shit that you don't think about unless you're like a parent. And now that I'm a parent, I'm like thinking about it.
Sure, sure. And also, yeah, you got to think about it. You're like, but I love being here, but also... The way this place is set up, it's almost asking me a lot of hard questions. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I grew up with asthma.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up there?
In New Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually grew up in a house like 2 blocks from where I am right now. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is I think the rate here is like 40, like 1 in 4 kids. I think it's like 25% will get asthma, which is twice the national rate.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's obscene already. Yeah. But in my family, it was 3 out of 4. 3 of us had asthma, you know? And I almost wonder how I'll feel if my kid develops asthma too. Like, will I be okay with that?
Right, right, right.
I don't know. It's a hard question.
Responsible, but then you're like, I'm against the fucking forces of capitalism. I'm trying to keep my kid from not having asthma and shit. Mm.
And there's also a bit of survivor's guilt attached to it. What if now that I'm like working and I got like a job that pays pretty well, how will I feel knowing that I can move to Nutley now?
Right,
but
right, right.
All of my friends in my community are just gonna be behind. It's tricky.
It's wild how there's so many ways to make yourself feel terrible, even when you're like, objectively, I'm doing good. But the way society's so fucked up, I'm out here questioning if I deserve the shit I got.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slippery slope. But yeah, I hope much clarity comes to you soon.
Yeah, no, yeah. Thank you, man.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. We are going to say a fond peace to Liz Cheney.
See ya.
As she has been defeated in her...
Thoroughly.
Thoroughly, soundly by MAGA. I mean, 8 of 10. 8 of 10 Republicans that voted for impeachment are no longer in power.
Yeah. And 2 are hanging on off a technicality. Like, yeah, it's kind of a wrap. Like, this does signal. It's like, oh, no, he won. He won that one.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about that. She's talking about maybe running for president as a spoiler. And like this once again raises the specter of a third party. Is there reason to believe in third parties this upcoming election cycle?
I mean, and wait till we'll get to Andrew Yang's pitch. If you've been on the fence about a third party, get fucking ready, y'all. I hope you're thinking caps on for this one.
It's a vibe. That's mainly what it is. It's not so much a pitch as a vibe.
Oh, that's a 21 Savage. Okay.
We're going to talk about Starbucks going for the kill on unions. Like, I thought they were... like well established at this point. There were so many victories, but they're basically being like, we need a revote. We can't trust these. They're just doing what Trump did to the presidential election, essentially.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, all of that, plenty more. But first, Eamon, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I was looking up Starbucks evil, actually, because I was actually reading about the union thing a second ago, and I remembered on YouTube, I had found a video a lot of years ago about how the logo was actually a nod at something evil and satanic. And it's like a whole conspiracy rabbit hole about how Starbucks is actually run by an evil satanic court or something like that. And I'm not saying those things are true. I know that it's like, it's fun.
Right,
that's what I was looking for, so I can remember what exactly about
the hidden evil of the Starbucks logo on the Scott Smith blog. I feel like that would make them way cooler than I think they actually are, is if they hid some satanic shit in their logo. That would be dope.
I mean, God, they're just now demonic because they're so inhumane to workers, but all right, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, they're saying it's like an upside-down Baphomet.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Okay, I see you.
So much the same way that the Bulls logo is an upside-down robot. Have you ever seen that, the Bulls logo upside down? It is straight up a robot. It's cool. Yeah, the Starbucks logo, when you turn it upside down, looks exactly like Baphomet, the horned devil goat thing. That's pretty good.
How does it look like a robot? Oh, because it looks like a robot, like spinning, like using a crab as a turntable. Yeah, it's a robot using crabs as a turntable. Okay, I like that. Whoa, that's fucking wild. All right. Yeah.
They should just adapt that for like April Fool's Day or something.
Yeah, just a robot.
Free marketing idea. Go for it.
DJ
and
then robot.
Announce, like, who is it? The CEO of Goldman, who's the fucking wannabe DJ?
Jamie Dimon?
David Solomon. Yeah,
David Solomon. Yeah.
The new logo for the Bulls.
Well, now you're talking about my favorite DJ, Miles.
Yeah, okay, my bad. No disrespect to D-Sol.
That's awesome.
He was D-Sol, but then he was like, fuck this. I'm cool enough now. I can go by David Solomon.
I'm going by Young CEO.
How did the fact that there was not any YouTube footage from his set at Lollapalooza suggest to me either it didn't happen or his SEO people were on that shit?
Or people were like, yo, what the fuck is this? Like a charity set? This dude's spinning in the parking lot?
I wanted to see like the...
Nobody's checking.
Because remember we saw the footage from his Hampton set?
Yeah.
And it was just the emptiest dance floor mixed with...
he just did someone's wedding. I just saw another clip of him recently DJing somebody's wedding.
That's so wild.
And like the most low energy like drop I've ever seen. He's like putting his hand up and like cutting the trouble. He's like, you ready? And then it happened. He has like no body movement like when the beat comes in. Everyone's like... All his sycophants are just taping him in the front. And I'm like, this is fucking too much.
Dude, you know what that reminds me of? Of Joaquin Phoenix trying to start a rap career.
Yeah.
And he has like a few rap concerts and it's sort of the same energy. It's like, yo, this guy's really trying.
Man, that was, God, we should have known it was a rap when he was out there trying to rap.
Somebody should have told him something.
What is something you think is underrated?
PlayStation 5. Now, I have a few reasons for this, right? Because it's sort of like a designer like video game console at this point, but I love having something that my brother can't get his hands on. And it's like the best feeling in the world. It's actually really funny. His wife has a control of the Amazon account. It's like under her email or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he got access to like this Amazon customers only access to a PlayStation 5 drop, but she didn't tell him that the email came through when it was time to get the one that was reserved for him. And so he called me mad as hell. He's like, hey, I can't get this freaking PlayStation. It's been like a year. And I'm like,
damn, man, you want to come over and play mine?
that's what he gets for when he's trying to play Super Mario. Gave me the controller that's not plugged in.
Is this your older brother or younger brother?
Yeah, he's my older brother.
So you need to windmill on him all day with that PS5.
Oh, I'm sending him pictures all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man, you have a baby. You won't be able to like to play with it.
I'm sending him pictures of me holding the baby.
Yeah, I got the box. I should just...
Just saying.
Give it to
him. Just saying. If you really want to get in your fucking sibling war bag, you can be pulled up with a fucking rocked out... fucking PS5 box and be like, hey man, you know I got you, big bro.
It's time to make peace, man. I got you.
You thought
he opens it up, it's just like a cinder block. Oh my god.
But that might cause some real problems. But anyway, you know, that's a dangerous move with gamers, I feel.
He's hitting that age where he's starting to shrink a little bit, so I'm not scared of him.
Okay.
What age is that? Like 30s? What?
How's he shrinking? Yeah. Wait, hold up. I might be there too.
Yeah. I'm like starting to look over his head now. I'm just starting to like, it's all right, little bro.
You might be cool. Hitting a growth spurt.
You might be growing. Yeah. I mean,
I'm pretty sure you don't start shrinking until you're in your like 60s. Yeah. You get the dad inch.
There you go.
How is the PS5 still like so hard to come by? Is it just the same way as like cars are facing supply chain issues, or what's?
I think it has more to do with bots, because I think, you know, for a long time, like really nice sneakers and designer stuff has always been really hard to find online, and so there's all these bot engines that will just automatically purchase as soon as the drop happens, so they can purchase the whole stock before a human can physically click on the purchase now button, right?
Yeah.
So it's been impossible for any human to just go on to any of these websites and just hit buy, because so many of these, what are they called?
Yeah.
There's like a term for them.
Right.
But yeah, so they basically just hoard all the
PS5s. Oh, you mean the resellers? And,
yeah, the resellers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they just have them all. And there's also the supply and chain issue, because they have like the certain chip that there's like a worldwide shortage that's making it hard to make cars, to make computers. It's too hard to make anything these days. I know that Tesla got pushed back like 4 or 5 years because yeah, they ran out of chips. They just don't have any more chips.
They're like, hey, you can sign up for a 2027.
Right. I think that's what it is right now.
Or it's you can insane. Buy a like, 2017. For
yeah,
that's all we got.
We'll swap the battery out for you though. But yeah, the PS5 shortage is real. I remember when it came out, I only got one because my friend hit 2 lotteries.
Yeah.
Well, and he's like, yo, I'll sell you the other one I hit at cost. And I was like, thank you, sir, for being gentle with the reseller. Because I know you could have came up if you actually put that thing. This is like at the end of 2020, you know, that winter.
Oh, that's right off the jump. That's dope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know how people felt when they got like the Pfizer vaccine? You know, when it's like, oh, they got that exclusive? That's sort of how I feel with the PS5.
Just holding it and hugging it. What are you playing on?
It's like my brother got Moderna and I got Pfizer. That's how I feel.
I got PS Pfizer. Wait, what are you playing on it right now?
I like the indie game. So I'm playing right now that game called Kena. It's sort of like a Legends of Zelda vibe, where it's like dungeons and puzzles and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I play a lot of sports games, though. I play a lot of FIFA. It's addicting.
Got to.
Which, you know, we should pour one out, because this next one's going to be the last one.
Then we get
lost the license.
Sports FC or whatever the fuck it's going to be called. Whatever. It is what it is. We'll survive.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
What's something you think is overrated?
Camera straps. You know, when people take pictures, there's like a strap that comes with every camera that you're supposed to hook up.
Oh, so you can
like sling
straps.
It over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And sling it over your neck. And I just haven't used one in a couple of years now. And I don't think I can ever go back. You know, like this is an example of it. Like I just prefer to hold
it. Wow.
And I know it's like it increases the rate of dropping it, but at least, you know, you feel like you're holding on to something. And if you just let it hang over your shoulder, it just rocks back and forth.
What is that? What is that? A cannon?
It's heavy. This is what I'm holding, is a Canon Mark III, 5D Mark III.
And what you got, L-series glass on that?
Hell yeah, man.
Man, you no strap?
I just picked this up, 20 to 70, 2.8.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
For the camera dorks.
Yeah, okay, you know.
A really good friend of mine just got married recently, and I used to shoot weddings back in college as like my side hustle, because you could just charge whatever, and people are just happy to have the photos. It's insane what people charge, but I always charge less, and so people were happy to work with me.
Right. And even then, you're like, damn, you paying me that much? All right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's better than doing like a PA job somewhere where Disney execs are going to shout at me, you know, get my coffee or whatever. So I just did that instead. And so a buddy of mine just got married, and I was like, yo, I'm going to give you this as a wedding gift. I'm going to like show up and like shoot your wedding, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was legit, man. I had like the setup. I had multiple cameras. We did the whole line. I made the groomsmen take their picture. That was a little goofy. Made the bridesmaids take their picture. That's goofy. The whole nine, basically.
Yeah.
And I just got back. So like my whole table in front of me is covered with just camera shit. But the whole time there was like another photographer who had the strap. And I was just like, you look like a dork right now. You have to
fucking clown over here.
That's sort of
protecting
your investment and shit. If you're holding on to it, you can always just like tuck it like a football, and now you have two hands.
Wow,
you're cradling it.
My dad's a photographer, so I grew up getting yelled at all the time as a kid, getting near my dad's camera equipment, right? And when I got old enough to take pictures, the rule was I cannot have a fucking camera in my hand unless the neck strap was fucking on. Because I remember I almost dropped a camera once, and that was it. And so when I see you, you're like, nah, man, I'm carefree with it.
You're holding the lens part like it's the stem of a hammer, like the neck of
That's
a hammer.
That's the heavier part of the camera. I mean, you have to hold it from this side, dude.
Yeah.
If you're holding it like this, dude, ugh.
Yeah, and if you had a telephoto on, you can't hold it from the body.
Right. No, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just very passionate about it. And if I see you wearing a strap, I might clown you.
You know what's funny? My other homie who's a photographer, he has the smallest wrist strap that he has. He's like, I ain't going full neck.
Wrist strap.
Yeah, I've but at least those. When he has it in his hand, if anything were to ever happen, it's just going to go whoop straight to the wrist. So at least you don't have to total herb out there.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a wrist strap, you know? It's like one of those like Nintendo Switch straps where it just like kind of slides over your wrist, so when you're playing bowling, it doesn't fling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
But nah, man. If you're wearing it over your neck, it almost feels like you're pretending to be a photographer, cuz like if you try to walk with it, just try walking with it. It's going to like swing around and hit you in the chin. And if you try to swing it over your shoulder, it's just going to keep flapping up and down. It's probably not good for the gear.
Okay.
So what I do is I just have a camera bag that has easy access. And so when I'm done shooting, I just flip it over one side of the arm, stuff the camera and keep moving.
Okay.
How fragile is a camera like that? Like, is that something that if it's just fucking flying around on a strap like that, it could break? Or is that? No. All right.
No.
It's the drops that you have to worry about. It's the lens. The lens is obviously probably the you fuck that up. Like, it's a wrap. A body, you could get away with some shit if you smash it up a little bit, but the glass, you fuck that up. It's
And I've known some people who have like the craziest looking bodies, and they're proud of it. Especially concert photographers, you know, people who shoot in venues. Look at their gear, man. It looks like it's seen battle.
I'm sure
and
it has.
In a way, it's actually kind of rad. Like, I'm worried that Balenciaga, after hearing this, is going to come out with like the raggedy camera body stuff, you know.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Liz Cheney. We'll talk third parties.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and Liz Cheney, as predicted, defeated in her primary race against someone whose name I have not committed to memory. But you
I mean,
know,
there's
just like
really, really no need to. It's not that important. At the most, you need to know is that this woman, Harriet Hageman, had one of the worst looking like fashion choices I've ever seen. Like a really has this like quilt coat that's baffling. But anyway,
like sound baffling.
Almost, yes.
It would work very well as sound bath.
It really would. It really would. Mm-hmm. You know, it, you know, got her own MAGA swag, her own swagger. But yeah, she one handled, I think, like 68% of the vote. She got 68% of the vote. So, you know, I think if you turn on like CNN or MSNBC, some are like being like, hey, you know, it's like almost treating her like a fallen hero. But come on, y'all. Like, she deserves mm-hmm. no applause. Like, she helped elevate Trump. She voted with him 93% of the time and only found a backbone after January 6th, presumably because she hoped that an electoral defeat would be a tidy way to get him out the way, which is, I just feel like that's the most charity I could give her. So I'll give her, you know what, I'll give her 1 point because she did draw the line at election theft, but not at things like restricting like healthcare or LGBTQ rights or voting rights or human rights and shit like that. So there it is. But really, what this says is that this is pretty much the, as many people are saying, it's the purge of anybody who went against Trump in the House is pretty much gone off without a hitch.
Yeah, 8 out of 10. So,
yeah.
And you said there's two left and they're hanging on by technicalities?
Yeah, like one, like there's a, it's just like the way the district is set. It's just, it's like a, it's an eventuality. I think the other is a friend of Kevin McCarthy, and Kevin McCarthy like begged Trump to not like name him to
spare him.
Eke out a fucking win.
Spare him, sir.
Yeah, no, seriously. So, you know, it's her speech when she conceded was sort of like, you know, I could have won this race, but I didn't want to throat the whole boot. Okay, I only wanted to lick the tip a little bit a few years ago. And then I drew the line there, and that's why I got smashed by somebody who was willing to regurgitate any amount of nonsense. So, you know, this is probably, you know, obviously the end of the road for her as a congressperson at the moment, but there's already a lot of talk and, you know, saying like, yeah, I might think about running for president too. And there's like a new leadership pack that she's like shifting her money into that's called like the Great Task or some shit. Very cryptic.
The Great Task is fucking foreboding as hell, man.
It's some shit like that. Ooh. Very, very, very ominous. So, and a lot of people think like, you know, that may be her ultimate aim is to just be a permanent thorn in Trump's side. But yeah,
I mean, her as a presidential candidate feels very like the wet dream of like CNN. CNN loves that shit.
Oh, yeah.
The idea of like, first of all, she's, you know, got legacy. She's got the nepotism thing going. She has like a, you know, when the national news cycle was like, well, Jeb Bush is going to be the nominee. type shit. Like, right. I feel like that. I could see her getting a lot of attention that way. And if she can somehow rip off the Band-Aid for, you know, getting people's mind around third parties, I would be all about that.
Who knows? I mean, look, a good pedigree, though. You know, her dad actually knows how to steal an election.
That's so true.
Like, look out. I mean, that's a feather in
Can't
your
hat. Can't forget about Florida.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, yeah, we'll see. Well, I don't know. I mean, Amy, what do you think? You see her being serious, like having a serious political career after? A lot of people think maybe she'll just be a pundit.
No, man. I think she's done. I think she also knows that she's done. It's like that scene at the end of Black Panther where T'Challa at the end is like, you know what? I can kind of see things your way now. It still doesn't erase everything that the villain has done the whole movie. You know what I mean? Liz Cheney is a very staunch conservative. And when we're thinking about what's good for the country, forget what's good for the country. Think about where the polls are, the national polls, and what people actually want. She's one of those people that's voted regularly against what nationally people in America actually want for this country. And on top of that, if we want to just for a second talk about her position on waterboarding, she doesn't think that waterboarding is actually torture. She's on record saying that it's not torture and that it's an interrogation technique that works.
Yeah.
And to this day, she still thinks that that's why, in the end, we were able to get Bin Laden. Never mind the fact that the CIA themselves had their own fact-finding agency that produced like a 6,700-page report that in the end concluded that there is no evidence saying that any information obtained by any of those interrogation techniques, if you want to, I'm going to call it torture. Nothing obtained by torture helped us get Bin Laden. But that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? She's still in that realm of conservative where her position matters more than the truth.
100%.
And when it comes to actually hurting people and hurting the country, I don't know, man. I'm kind of glad to see her go. It's nice that she, at the very end, grew a conscience, but we would have loved to see that conscience. But what I think I'm more worried about is where the conservative and Republican Party is going, because I think this, in my opinion, what was at stake was what Trump's power. I think a lot of people were talking about Trump as being this tangential figure in the Republican Party now. He's sort of out of the way. He's quieter. He's off Twitter. He doesn't have that reach. I think he proved a lot of people wrong by getting Liz Cheney totally. You know, it's insane the margin that she was beat out by, man. Like, just that's insane. Yeah. The incumbent, I don't think that's ever happened before, ever. So I think it's not a good sign if you're someone who's worried about Trump's power. And at the same time, knowing now that the Republican Party is a party that's loyal to a person, it's going to get hairier from here is what I'm feeling.
A lot of people are like, bro, I think some of these people think this motherfucker's Jesus. The way some of these evangelicals are talking too, it's like he's redefining religion for some people with like their adherence to everything that he says. I mean, I think one of the reasons why they're really energized too is like the Republicans, it's easier to be like, this motherfucker's a traitor and turn out against them while being upset at like what, you know, Democrats being in power. But for sure, I mean, like it shows that grievance vote was very potent there. But I don't know, you know, maybe she'll spoil the party. I don't know. It's like, I don't know who she takes. It's like those people who might be like, I can't get with Trump. It's like, well, I don't know if those are votes for anybody else but him anyway.
Dude.
But yeah.
I recently ran a piece in Slate about the line between extremism and mainstream Republican politics shrinking, right? Mm-hmm. And so I talked to a research fellow at the Soufian Center, which is like this far right. Not far. They investigate extremism wherever it comes from. Mm-hmm. And they found that line, that's, you know, the distance that a person has to travel to find crazy conspiracies and violent rhetoric has virtually disappeared. Yeah. And now if you go online and you're looking for just run-of-the-mill conservative ideas, you're pretty much guaranteed to be funneled into one of these corners of the internet where you're bound to encounter some of the most hardcore shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so this, I think, like the whole Liz Cheney thing is just it's like a symptom of a bigger problem, which is that the person who's online looking for conservative ideas now is just being thrashed with so much of this crazy extremist shit. And I'm not talking about just like extremism on like abortion or you know,
we're talking,
I'm
like talking great about replacement theory.
We got to burn it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like accelerationist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. So I think that distinction is important between like what Republican ideas are and like the extremism shit that this group is talking about when they're, for example, trying to kind of tear all of the institutions apart, tear trust away from these institutions so that people feel helpless in working with the system. So they start looking for solutions outside the system. Mm-hmm. And those solutions are not going to be peaceful, right?
No.
Now we're talking about subverting the will of American democracy, the will of your neighbor. Now you're just trying to enforce it by force. And so what does that look like? It looks like the dude going and setting his car on fire in front of the, in Washington, D.C. And we're talking about the dude who tried to blast through a bulletproof glass in an FBI building in Cincinnati with a nail gun, you know?
Right.
That's what that looks like. And so I think it's not looking good. It's not looking good.
But do you think like he is more electorally viable than like people are giving him credit? Like it seems to me like he is the presumptive like winner of the 2020, not even the nominee.
This name would be a primary.
I don't like he's gonna be the nominee. Like I feel like the amount of energy we're seeing out here and like unprecedented wins in, you know, granted it's Wyoming or whatever the fuck, but like it just feels like the people are once again sleeping on the fact that Trump is going to be the president again, barring some manner of like, I don't know, charges against him, which is also very unlikely, I feel like. I don't know, man. It's bleak times. And like, what does a Trump presidency look like?
Well, yeah, man? But
like,
I don't know. I mean, that's why it's like close to pay. Got to pay attention to these midterms, man. That's, you'll see how much people are like, oh, do I have to vote to keep my rights for the first? Like, do I need to go get out to do that? Will they do that? Are people connected enough to what the stakes are? Mm-hmm. Is by virtue of all of the talk in like DC really centering around like, what's going on with Trump? Like, is he going to jail? Is he getting indicted? Is he getting charged? Definitely good for like the media energy machine. But then like when I do see people like Eric Trump being like, these people were like fighting over giving me dinner, you got to see that. I'm like, that shit didn't happen, fool. Shut up. Like, it's not like that. Okay. But I do understand that this is the absolute position Fox, Trump, the right wing loves to be in, is to get into like, they're coming for us mode.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, seeing how like ill-equipped Republicans are when asked to comment on everything are like about the situation, then you're like, damn, like I'm sure these people would, again, rather be trying to say like, actually falling gas prices is bad for Americans. Because that was like
They're really about it, man. You know, I think the lesson from 2016 when Hillary lost was that elections aren't won by energizing your base. The elections are won by getting the other side to not show up, you know?
Right.
Right.
That was the issue with Hillary. It's not that Trump's support got him over the edge. It was that, but also Hillary supporters didn't show up, you know, partly because of, you know, her emails and the FBI opening an investigation just literally the same month of the election. But at the same time, it's, you know, I think we need to be thinking about that moving forward a little bit more, because what is it that's going to get Democrats out and to vote, right?
I think the problem is, right, we always talk about it. I just saw a headline. It's like, what can Joe Biden do to bring out the youth vote? What has to happen? And it sounds like this thing where the youth vote is this thing that like, it's like through this alchemy, we can energize them. What is the secret recipe? When really it's about, it's not about the youth vote waking up. It's about, can the party actually appeal to people? Stop putting it in the hands of like, can the youth vote wake up? It's like, are you even espousing policies that interest people? Like, can you even connect with them? It's not that you're trying to prod this like dead fucking body on the side of the road, be like, hey, come on, man, wake up. It's about, can you even put something in the air that people are like, oh, that's a direction that I believe in that we can go for? Because a lot of times people, you know, hear a lot of political talk and like, this is a bunch of bullshit. Case in point, fucking Andrew Yang recently out here talking about his third party on CNN. And he this guy thinks he's so big brained. He's like, no, nah, man, it's the fucking it's about going forward, man. It's about progress. Oh, OK. Mm-hmm. I know progress means something very specific to me. But when he was asked by Jim Acosta on CNN, this dude, oh, my. It's so really you got to listen to this. But like, this is what happens when your people pleasing part of your brain is completely blown out because you don't even know what to do. Like, you're just about, like, how can I please anybody?
These things have taken over my body.
Okay, here we go. Please show us the way, Andrew.
On both sides,
but you're gonna have to come up with policy
really
positions.
Negative results,
right?
We
but Andrew,
just need a better system.
Yeah, but Andrew, you're gonna have to have policy positions at some point. How does the Forward Party feel about Roe versus Wade? Should it have been overturned?
Well, I personally think that women's reproductive rights are fundamental human rights, but the Forward Party has. Not left or right, but forward stance on even the most divisive and contentious issues.
What does that mean? Don't you have to take a position on something?
What are you talking about, my man?
You can't just say, well, this is a hot button issue, so I'm not going to take a position on you. You know, if you want to run the country, you're going to have to make some hard decisions, Andrew.
Again, the Forward Party is about that common sense consensus majority view, which is very clear on abortion. It's clear.
What about guns? What about assault weapons?
It's clear on climate change. It's actually clear on just about every issue under the sun.
Should 18-year-olds be able to buy
AR-15s? Because of the nature of our system.
Should 18-year-olds be able to buy AR-15s?
Again, the common sense consensus majority is that there should be some rules around background checks and access to firearms. But we're not getting any of these things, Jim, because the two-party system does not need to deliver.
But it doesn't sound like...
Okay, bro. It doesn't even sound like you can fucking deliver on even having a take on shit.
This is the idea that he's pitching is a third party that is the center, is to the center. And that is based on this talking point that was created by the Republicans, that is the Democrats are too far extreme. To the left, too extreme, except they're not extreme about literally anything. Like, there's not an extreme left position that is occupied by the Democratic Party. So, like, anytime you try and ask, like, this new idea for a third party to, like, articulate how their position is different from the Democrats in any way, they can't, because the Democrats are the centrist party. The issue is we don't have a party that is to the left.
Or as like he says, left or right, but forward. Okay, so you're talking progress, right?
Uh-huh.
That's, I think that's a wrap, sir, if that's what you're saying. Because if we're talking progress inherently, we're talking about disrupting the status quo. And you should be able to articulate things like, rather than falling back on a tidy talking point, like, well, the common sense consensus. Well, if your party represents that, then fucking say that.
Right.
And what the problem is, like, there needs to be a party that's like, okay, we're not going to fucking waffle. It's like, we need a go hard part. Like, we go hard. We're not mincing words about shit. Like, and that's what the Republicans are right now. But they're just going hard for fucking autocracy and the fucking Christo fascism.
Well, right. There's a like whole middle, like fuzzy middle part that is like traditional Democrats and traditional like Republicans. And then there is like a fascist thing that is what like MAGA has become. And that's it. That's the entirety of like American political thought. Like, those are your options. Nobody has articulated anything else other than, you know, like a handful of people who are not candidates.
Unless you yourself are like reading like about like actually educating yourself on like socialism and things like that. I mean, yeah, there are many ways to look at, you know, how our country's operating. But I think because the ones that, like you're saying, those are the ones that are most readily available and overly represented for people who are just like, let me click on this news site.
Right.
What do you guys think about like preferential voting? You know, when you like assign a party a number and you say, okay, I kind of like, I'll give Democrats a 3, Republicans a 2, and the Green Party a 1. And you just like, they calculate it that way. I think they do that in other countries.
Yeah, they do that. Anything better than the two-party system that we have right now. Like that, the current like winner-take-all thing and the current like entrenched Republican Democrat are, they make it impossible for a third party. So like, yeah, that would be great. I feel like the only way we see any third party is if Trump is prevented from being the Republican nominee, then like comes through as a third party candidate, and like something extreme and accidental and, you know, something that neither of the two major parties can deal with. Because right now, like, there's so the whole they are the entire system, Republican and Democratic parties. So like you really can't do anything unless you already like have built in a majority of like, you know, just an insane numbers or energy or something like that.
I mean, I feel like the energy right now is with fucking organized labor.
Right. You know,
that's something that is becoming increasingly more at the front of mind for American people, especially working people. And we see a lot of people who are, you know, fighting to try and get equitable wages and benefits and things like that. And again, we always, you know, you always see like, oh, these talking points work when you're like, hey, man, you should be able to fucking live off of one job and shit like that. But again, the issue is you're always going to go up against the donor class, which are the people who cut the checks for the people whose vote you're trying to get. And they're gonna be like, hey, man, don't talk that shit. Like, you're going to fucking raise my taxes, man. Fuck out of here. Fucking I'll wreck your whole shit with fucking with attack ads. Come on now.
You know what I kind of hate the way that it's set up right now, because it will split the vote like crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean by splitting the vote? Like, if we have people who are going to be looking at this long list of parties and they're going to be thinking, oh, well, I kind of am not sure if I'm going to go left or super left or even more left, then that'll split the vote. So I'm Egyptian, and I was paying really close attention in, I think it was like 2012, when Egypt had like the first democratic election ever in its history, right? Going all the way back to pharaonic times even. And the way that they did their election was kind of like what we do here, where everybody's invited to make their own parties, right? But there were these two existing parties that were already, they had already a ton of support. I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, which is like the theocratic conservative party. But then they also had the military, which is sort of the old regime, which is also like a super hardcore conservative party. So everybody who wanted to vote progressive or liberal, which when I was down there and was interviewing people in Tahrir Square, was most people, right? Nobody wanted the Muslim Brotherhood, and nobody wanted the old government that they just revolted against. Mm-hmm. And so they were just trying to argue over like who was the better of these three different liberal parties. And so what happened in the end? The conservatives voted for the Muslim group, the Muslim Brotherhood. The military people voted for the military group, and they were all in line. They had their support. And then all the people voted for liberals, which if you added up all those tallies, they would have won. They weren't even on the runoff. They weren't even in the top two.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was like split between 100 different parties and candidates. And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so all of the people that when I was there, and they were talking about, oh, who are you going to vote for, this person or that person? Neither of them were ever heard from again, you know, because they didn't even have that kind of support to compete with the government or compete with, I'm calling it the government, compete with the military or compete with the Muslim Brotherhood. So I'm almost like, I think we need to make up our mind. Do we want just the two parties? Are we going to vote fascism, yes or no? Right. Or do we want that kind of tiered system where we can say, I'm going to give this one 3 points, this one 2 points, this one 5 points. And that way, there's sort of at least like a second choice, you know?
Yeah. Right. It's like, and at the end of the day, like whenever I think of it, I'm like, yeah, that would work. And then I'm like, but the second you give people the option to take a bite out of a corporation's ass, and that's popular, like the amount of money that's spent to like defeat policies like that, I'm like, what's first? Like, do we just need to get the money out of politics first, you know, to even have some semblance of a process that isn't completely tampered with by moneyed interest? But on some level, it always be because, you know, our reliance on like the media and things like that. But it's a complex problem. And yeah, at the moment, I think we're just stuck with, hey, you want which old guy you want? Yeah. You want like kind of
pick an old guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Pick an old guy. Which one do you want? The one who's like, you know, kind of chill, or the one who's definitely a fascist? And then you're like, fuck. What about like someone
fascist
who's like,
or fascist light? Pick one.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Right. Sugar-free fascist.
Citizens United has been like a flashpoint on the left that I've seen at least some people rallying behind. I know the Bernie Sanders crowd was very in favor of repealing that. I would love to see more energy behind that. I think you're right. I think, and I do some of my own monitoring of the right-wing extremists, and they hate money in politics. Yeah. Just as much as a Bernie Sanders supporter would, right. You know? And in fact, some of them love Trump so much because they see him as the anti-establishment candidate.
Right.
And right now they're doing a victory lap over Liz Cheney because they see him as
old, like, yeah, swampy.
As the person that can get rid of some of these establishment types.
Right.
You know? So I think one of the tweets that I saw from like this hardcore right person was, you know, because of Trump, we won't have a Bush or a Cheney in politics right now.
Right.
And that they see him as like that kind of politics vanquisher. And so I think if we can find a way to bring that to the forefront, I think that'd be a strong uniter. I think you're onto something.
It's just the one, it's like the answer to every question we have, you know, like we talk about like, well, how come it's still being so hard for this Starbucks union push right now? It's like, well, the fucking the National Labor Relations Board is severely underfunded and they can't keep up with helping like workers organize when like that's the federal agency tasked with it. And you get why people will drag their heels as representatives of Congress to not fund certain things because of how the money flows. And I'm like, it answers so many questions. And like, I remember when I was working in politics, I was like, damn, it's this fucking just in front of your face.
Forward. Yeah.
It's like this motherfucker signs your biggest check. So now all of your fucking energy goes into protecting this person's fucking business interests. And then like, meanwhile, you just go, you glad hand in your district and be like, yeah, maybe we'll build this community center and shit. But no, you're not. You're going to go because you've been paid to like vote a certain way on these like 10 bills every year that really matter most to your donors. And then you fucking go on with it and you don't have, and you save your time from having to actually fundraise like small dollar donations because lobbyists come in with huge packaged donations from other moneyed interests. And now you're like, oh, shit, I'm set. I got more. No, who's going to try and fucking step to me in a primary? I'll blow them out with the amount of cash I have because I'm backed by all this money. And I think that's the one, that's the only, that's like, I feel like without that piece being taken out, there's absolutely no fucking way because they're always able to put their fingers in shit.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about this and what's happening with Starbucks.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, so let's talk about what's going on in Starbucks, because we've been kind of covering the steady drip of like positive victories for unionization of various Starbucks stores across the country. Over 220 locations have voted to unionize, but big Howie Schultz is coming through and is just trying to, you know, flip the table basically and be like, those votes don't count. We gotta redo the vote. No fair. It's like playing a board game with a 4-year old. And except the 4-year old's allowed to just flip the table over and be like, all right, we gotta start over again.
Right. And then fire you too. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, I'm fired? How? But yeah, I mean, like, you know, those votes to unionize are obviously just like a first step, right? And like you're saying, fucking Starbucks is like doing everything they can to like violate every conceivable labor law as they try to bust all these unions. Like, that means spying on pro-union baristas, firing them, closing down the stores, or denying raises to those workers. Basically, you know, it's all intimidation. Yeah. And again, so like once any, you know, group of people, they decide to unionize, the next step is to have a first contract. Right. Is you have to ratify your first contract. That's the moment when the baseline is set, where you've agreed, OK, as this is the foundation of our agreement. Here are the wages. Here's the structure. Here are the benefits. Here's the structure. But unfortunately, there's no real legal obligation for a corporation to begin talks once a store has decided to unionize, like within a defined period of time. I think the law is just something of like, as long as it's in good faith, quote unquote. But right. We all know a corporation ain't got no good fucking faith. So this allows for the fuckery, since the goal of the corporation is to basically never agree to a first contract. That's like, they're like, fuck. All right, well, maybe they voted unionized, but let's fucking try and do everything we can to make them be like, yo, this shit ain't worth it. This shit ain't worth it. This shit ain't worth it. Abandon it. And there's a write-up in Jacobin just kind of like chronicling all this like multi-pronged issue right now with a lot of these workers unionizing and the push from Starbucks to, you know, essentially try and kill the movement. So like, you know, the average time it takes between voting to unionize and the first contract is like 15 months. That's on average, right?
Jesus.
So it's within that time. That's when a lot of shit they start violating you, right? To try and be like, oh, okay, so you want to do that, huh? Here comes retaliation.
Straight up breaking laws. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. 100%. Starbucks has only began talks with 3 of those over 220 stores that have voted to unionize. And in like, again, they're sending their lawyers out, like they've hired like the fucking, like, you know, Michael Jordan of union busting law firms to come through with all kinds of like legal delaying tactics, or again, like I'm saying, like firing people, closing down their stores and doing all that shit. Luckily, workers know how to fight back through the strikes. You know, they're really they've I think right now they said they've held over 55 short-term strikes. There's one that's like, I think, indefinite in Boston that's been going on since mid-July. And all, like, this is all in response to being like, yo, you want a union bus? Watch this shit. Like, we won't even fucking work. And apparently that caused around almost $400,000 in like lost revenue with these like little things popping up here and there. But the thing is, for in order for that to do that, I think more American people need to realize that we have to support, we have to be in solidarity with all of these workers who are trying to unionize right now, because right now the stakes are people at Chipotle, fucking Medieval Times, you name it. There are many, many places that are doing this, but the pushback from the corporations is massive, because a lot of people saw Starbucks as like one of those first dominoes. They have so many stores that if people started unionizing there, that means a lot of other companies are going to have to be like, oh shit, now we got to do humane treatment.
And well, you know, when you put dominoes in the mind of a capitalist, that's bad news. If you're the familiar Noid. With the rationale for Vietnam or the Noid. Yeah, of course, the Noid. Yeah. But when they talk about something being a domino, they tend to take it very seriously. And yeah, man, there's like a National Labor Relations Board that is supposed to be able to enforce some of these laws.
Right.
But it's like, you know, it's like the FDA. It's like any of the, you know, things that are supposed to look at nutrition in our country and like enforce nutritional standards, that like they don't have any funding. They're funded in the like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. And they're going up against multi-billion dollar corporations. Like, that's how the thing has been built.
Budget has not been increased since 2014.
Right.
You put inflation in, they're running at like a 3/4 of their capacity at this point. And not to mention, damn, right, like all there. And again, Starbucks is flooding the fucking zone with shit, like Steve Bannon does. They're doing so many violations that just in like that Buffalo area where that first store decided to unionize, they got over 200 illegal violations they got to fucking sort through.
Right.
Just in that area alone. Cause they're like, yeah, watch them fucking deal with that. They don't got enough people to do all this shit. And they got to handle like Trader Joe's, Amazon, Apple, REI, all these other like private employers that are like also contending with union movements inside. So because of that too, there's not even a mechanism that is even dissuading a company like Starbucks from being like, yeah, man, fuck this shit. We can do whatever the fuck we want. What are they going to do with their three people?
So, I mean, we need to for real be boycotting Starbucks, right? Like straight up. Like that's...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's step one. You know what I mean? Like if you really want to support these people, there is a pledge you can sign. But again, it's really about like if you have the ability to educate people and shit like that and know what the stakes are, is really getting engaged with that. But yeah, what were we saying, Eamon?
I was saying like I love that defense being like, well, if we treat these people like humans, then we can't be profitable. It's like, all right, well, then your business model's flawed then, right? I mean, isn't that how we should be thinking about it?
Exactly.
I would love for some people to maybe even like put some political pressure on it and like have like a baseline. I know it's not going to work. It's just like a fantasy. But how amazing would it be if there was like a national push to get the federal government involved to regulate some of these business practices, you know?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Or put a sexier number up for minimum wage, right? Say minimum wage is $28 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's minimum or anything.
If you're making less than that, there's some sort of there's some tax credit that you can get where they can help you get to that number. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like say, yeah. Like I would love for there to be some kind of way for the federal government to get involved and not just trying to shut these businesses down, because we don't want that either. We want these jobs. But at the same time, we also want them to provide their basic function, which is to help these people live a life. It's not fair that many people have to have like at least 2-3 jobs, man. It's not fair.
Yeah. That's like the constant thing, right? Like the government could mandate something, but the people that are elected to do it, you know, if they're coming from the Washington area, they might have a lot of bucks flowing through their coffers. And then it ends up muddying everything and muddies the process. But yeah, I mean, we're just constantly being like kind of going back and forth with trying to figure out like what is humane for us, what isn't. And to your point, Eamon, like Amazon, they at one of their warehouses, they were trying to shut down a union drive. The money they spent, if they just invested that in the workforce, the people wouldn't have been fucking complaining.
Problem solved.
But again, because they see it as like, well, long term, if I got to start paying people a lot of money, or, you know, quote unquote, it eats into the bottom line, that means there's less money for us to come up with demonic facial recognition technology or whatever the fuck we're trying to sell to the Pentagon. It's just like,
I mean, what is the counter argument, right? The counter argument is if we pay people here decent enough to survive, then those businesses will just go overseas where labor is cheaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be some penalties for doing stuff like that. I think there should just be ways for the government where it's, I see this as the government's job. It shouldn't be on the workers to have to fight their own employers because it's an unfair fight, right?
Right.
What they're doing is amazing, but it shouldn't be on them to get the bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know?
And sadly, I think that's the reality we've been in since time immemorial in this place. You know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be like the robber baron class who doesn't give a fuck. They're, you know, lighting cigars with stacks of money. And, you know, it's meanwhile, working people toil and are stuck in this like really fucked up cycle. But I guess the one interesting thing or the one heartening thing is that you see how many people are beginning to get in touch with the fact that this is an option, that there is something they can do. There is a way to organize. Again,
for sure,
whether or not that's the be all end all solution, that's to be determined. But I think that's why it's really important for many people who, if you have the same feeling, like you look at the world and you feel it's unjust and people aren't paid right, like a decent wage, because you see everything's about protecting the profits and shareholder value, then you got to really, you know, really look at this moment right now and figure out how you can support them. Because if they're able to blunt this momentum, that would be, it took decades, like, you know, this like revival in organized labor. It was a long time coming and a lot of people felt very relieved. But again, they're spending a lot of money to ensure that it's no more than just like these couple hundred stores and they can, you know, flip the switch right back.
Yo, man, it's these Gen Zers, man. They're not going to blunt that, dude. There's no way. Like the fact that there's a labor shortage, nah, man, these kids ain't playing.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That like their whole shit of like the quiet quitting. We were talking about that on the Trends episode the other day of just like where they're like, yeah, my whole thing is like, I'm not busting my ass more than I have to. Fuck that.
Right.
Yeah. And for nothing.
Like, but how, why would they? Yeah. But I was like indoctrinated with the idea of like, you do that to show your value to them, and then maybe they will give you a little lick of a nutrient bar.
Right.
To sustain your life.
And then they treat you inhumanely and then you work even harder.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like slowly, generationally, taking that shit out of your head, because again, we still look at this relationship between employer and employee of being like, oh my God, thank you so much for even giving me a fucking job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're just happy to be in the room when that's exactly. Just not even okay. When, you know, my cousin just quit his job. He used to work at a pharmacy and we were all like proud of him, you know?
You mean for being a pharmacist or for quitting his job?
I was proud of him for getting a job in pharmacy. You know?
Got it.
Because before that he was doing like weird, you know, he was working at McDonald's for a while and Not that there's anything wrong with it. He had a college degree. So we were like, you should be doing something.
Right.
We wanted him to think about a career, you know, but for him, again, nothing wrong with a career at McDonald's either. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we were putting pressure on him to get a job in pharmacy. Whether you think that's healthy or not, I don't know, but that's what we did. And when he didn't get a job in pharmacy, he was like, fuck this, man. We have to like show up, and they say if we show up like 3 minutes late, like three times in a row, that's three strikes and we're fired. And so he just stopped going and he was like, fuck this, I quit. And I was like confused. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Like you need to be disciplined. You gotta, if they need you to show up 3 minutes, you gotta show up. And he was like, nah. And he moved to South Carolina and he just got a bunch of roommates and he got another job doing something else. And I see him on Instagram, he's living his life. And I'm like, fuck, man, I want to do that. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, I don't gotta do shit.
He just like left the country twice.
You still let him know that he brought shame on the family, right? You still make sure you let him know. Like that he fucked up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
great shame.
But it's coming out of a place of jealousy. But these young kids are not playing, man. They are connected to each other and to their own personal lives and well beings in ways that I just don't even understand.
Oh yeah.
And You know, like they, I hate to generalize. I'm just keep talking about my cousin. He understands that life is bigger than money and life is bigger than housing. And all he wants to do is like travel. And so he got this raggedy ass car and he's just driving from place to place doing like, you know, I think he does like tutoring online, doing like just a couple jobs here and there just to pay for gas and for the minimum foods. And he's happy as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking over here, it's like, oh, what about your 401k? What about retirement? What about all this? You know, yeah. And it's not even on his mind. And I feel like a lot of Gen Zers are like that. So these corporations, they might think that they have the upper hand, but I don't know if that's true.
Man, yeah, if I could just get 5 minutes to talk to him about all the good things that Wall Street and the 401k and all that shit have done for
okay, what
me
about
and
an
my
IRA,
family.
A Roth IRA? Like,
oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, it just shows like, right, like every generation, right? We look at our parents and go, I ain't doing that.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just the way life works. Like, you're like, that is too much, right? Like what y'all were doing? Hell no. And I think that's why people obviously begin to, you know, like we're happier. Obviously, technologically, our lives are easier. But I'm sure with every subsequent generation, they look at something that is normal to the previous generations. And they're like, that is the most absurd shit I've ever heard of. The fuck are y'all talking about? And I know like me growing up, you know, the 80s baby in the 90s and shit like that. I was very much like, yeah, man, you got to go to college, get your job and do your thing and blah, blah, blah. And life is like that and it'll be fair. Then I graduate when the recession hits and I'm like, yo, this none of this shit makes sense. But I'm still like using this like mindset of the, you know, worker like in America shit. And I'm like, it took me on a wild journey to the point where I'm like, maybe I just want to be creative. And that's where I landed.
My parents didn't even spend 30% of their annual budget on avocado toast. You believe that shit?
What?
I'm like, how? What is wrong with you? Get your priorities straight. Eamon, such a pleasure having you, as always.
Yo, this is so much fun, man.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Well, they can find me on the block on Broader Market in Newark, New Jersey, anytime, any place. But you can also find me online on Twitter. I'm at Eamon.com, spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. My first name is hard to spell, but if you just Google it and put Slate, I'm sure you will find it. But yeah, say hello, reach out. You can also send me comments judging me for being an asshole older cousin, but you know, that's welcome too.
Yeah, hit me up if you want a box, a PS5 box full of rocks.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I was scrambling. I was scrambling while we were talking, trying to find a funny one. Mm-hmm. And I think I did. I think I did. Hold up. Let me find.
Hold on. Let me look for one real quick.
He Real Chief says, imagine in 2025, while putting on an outfit, you find a mask in your pocket. And then you say to yourself, what a year that was. And you smile. Then you put on your gas mask, load your shotgun, and go kill some zombies on the way to go get some milk at the grocery store.
Yeah. shit.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
What if this is as good as it gets? Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the latest episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. It was a great one. Also, come check me out on 420 Day Fiance if you like 90 Day Fiance. And, you know, 818 if you're in the Valley or you in LA. Catch me live. I'm doing a live show with the 818s and Heartbreak Podcast this Saturday, August 20th. Hit me up or, you know, check my bios or their bios for that information to come check that out. It's going to be fun. Let's see. A tweet that I like. First one is from Sam Salisbury at Samuel Salisbury tweeted, oh, the Sopranos cut to black at the end when you watched it? That's weird. Mine ended with Tony Soprano congratulating me personally for understanding the show better than anyone else did. So stupid. And then Sarah Dutcher, it's Sarah Dutcher, tweeted, first draft of email, please fuck all the way off. Email sent, I apologize for any confusion. Yeah, you know, kind of switch it up sometimes.
Been there.
Eddie Pepitone tweeted, you've hit bottom. You've tried Pilates. You joined a book club. You joined a hate group. You microdosed LSD. You took cold plunges. You read Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. You cut out sugar? Isn't it time you drove a Ford? Ford, you'll be dead soon. Same, man. That's pretty good. That's pretty good ad copy. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
I think you might enjoy this track from the Shaolin Afronauts. This is a group of very, very, very talented musicians. I think they improvise like a lot of their songs, but I think maybe they start off improvising and then, you know, sort of whittle down the tracks from there. But they are, man, it's just got good, you know, if you like jazz, you like Afrobeat, you like people who are just killing on their instruments, this is a great track. It's called Kilimanjaro from the Shaolin Afronauts. Just a wild mashup right there. But yeah, check this one out, Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending.
Yeah.
And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.